plus incidence among HIV-positive active duty members and beneficiaries.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. I know it's tough, the last day, the second to last session, so I appreciate you all being here. And I think, as we've already heard, the first two presentations is a very important session. So yes, my talk is about the impact of moving or permanent change of station on syphilis incidents among HIV-positive active duty members and their beneficiaries. So I think it's important for me to say, because a lot of people get confused about this, if someone gets HIV and they're on active duty, it does not result in them having to leave the military. They're not forced into retirement or separation necessarily. They can no longer be deployed, and they are required, at least at the moment, to be seen every 6 months. And that is shifting as we're learning a lot more about HIV over time and the impact of heart use. The HIV Natural History Study cohort has been a cohort study within the DOD that's been around since 1986, following active duty members and their beneficiaries that enroll in this study, building on top of this natural cohort study of folks having to be seen for 6 months. We have we're at installations where HIV-positive active duty members and their beneficiaries are seen. And very nice, we have access to regular STI screening as part of the cohort study. Folks are screened for syphilis, gonorrhea, chlamydia on a regular basis at six-month intervals. STIs within this cohort has been shown to be high. Dr. Ganesan in 2012 reported on syphilis incidents within the DOD, within the study, and it's with quite high rates. So as we know, not just in the military, but in general, risky sexual behaviors do continue among HIV-positive individuals, and that does lead often to STIs. The repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell has led, in part, to still relatively little risk behavior data on active duty members. Migration in the civilian setting or in a number of settings have been shown to be associated with higher risk. Oftentimes associated with instability, added stress, just a hectic lifestyle. And military members and their beneficiaries are often subject to moves as part of their duties, this permanent change of status. We all know that military members are, you know, have a scheduled move every 2 or 3 years to a different change of station. So we wanted to capitalize on that. This is a cross-sectional study design, and we're using HIV natural history study data. Inclusion criteria for our study was an enrollment between August, the beginning of the study, until October 2011. Folks had to have a documented RPR syphilis test and a confirmatory test. And folks that had no follow-up time got syphilis within 6 months from their HIV diagnosis. We actually wanted to look at new syphilis infections, not those that might have been associated with their HIV infection. And anyone that had a positive syphilis screen but was unconfirmed was excluded as well. Our analysis included descriptive statistics, and we used a Weibull hazards model. So we defined syphilis as anyone that had a negative non-treponemal test or RPR test with at least one positive, that's supposed to be a treponemal test, followed up by a confirmation with a treponemal test. Permanent change of status or move was defined as a change in the first three digits of their zip code, and we used that instead of using a change in five digit zip code to really try to identify a broader region change as opposed to what might be local changes of moves that might not be associated with a permanent change of status. Follow-up time was calculated from initial negative RPR date to either their incident infection or the last recorded non-treponemal test. So of 5,543 individuals that were possibly eligible for our study, you see sort of the breakdown of how we got to our study sample of 4,471. So we lost the folks that had no RPR. I did want to highlight the fact that, again, this high rate, and Dr. Ganesan had a poster on this, 6.8% of our participants had a positive RPR at the time or within 6 months of their HIV diagnosis, so also quite high. And we also excluded the people who had no follow-up for, again, 4,471 folks. So these participants contributed 30,000-plus years of follow-up with a median follow-up time of 4.9 years, primarily male. There's about 15% of the military is women at the moment. A very nice the nice thing with working with the military population is you have very equal representation of Caucasian African American population and 14% Hispanic other. These tend to be younger folks. 60% were single at enrollment. And of those, 9.1% or 407 had a positive RPR with a confirmed syphilis. So we wanted to normalize our move rates by follow-up to make sure that that wasn't somehow biasing our estimates. And this is how the frequency broke down. We broke down into the categories of did not move, 1 to 2 moves, 3 to 4, and greater than 4. So this is a little busy, but I'll walk you through it. So in univariate analysis, so when handled individually, you can see that moves were associated with syphilis incidence. With you looking at did not move as a reference category, it was protective if you had 1 to 2 moves, but it increased from there 3 to 4 and greater than 4. Male gender was associated with syphilis incidence as well as African American race, being single, and in univariate analyses, rank and military status. We did look at age, CD4 count, and viral load, and these variables were not significantly associated on univariate analyses. When we put all the significant variables in one model, we did find that the association with moves continued to be strongly associated, to a lesser extent. And again, this protective effect with this 1 to 2 moves, and then increasing sort of dose response as you increased moves from 3 to 4 to greater than 4. Males remained statistically significant. We still saw the race issue, and then the marital status remained. Rank and active duty status fell out of the model and were not significant. So in conclusion, among HIV-positive DOD beneficiaries, this study found that low rates of PCS, or permanent change of status, are protective for syphilis incidence. And when talking to our fellow military counterparts, they thought that perhaps this could be due to the expectations of moves. People come to the military knowing that this is part of their military life, so expecting to move around a little bit was, you know, probably part of the job that they were signing up for. Higher rates beyond 2 moves in that 10 years span was found to be associated with syphilis incidence, and we attribute this to probably shifting networks. It could be an increase of risky sexual networks. The folks are getting into other areas of risky sexual networks. And perhaps a decrease in stable social networks, maybe social networks that might have been established in the places where they were coming from to begin with. There are some limitations, as in all studies. We know that perhaps this was an overestimation of PCS. In a region like where we live in Washington, D.C., a zip code change from Silver Spring, let's say, to Arlington is more than a 3-digit zip code change, even though those could be locations that folks could move to and still stay in the same location. So perhaps this was an overestimation. Although in more rural locations like Fort Bragg, the zip code changes or three number zip code changes in that area really does describe a much more regional shift. We do think that this is an example of creative ways to use data to answer militarily relevant questions with a civilian impact, and we look forward to being able to expand asking questions like this. Using larger DOD data sets, we are hoping to look at not just within our cohort study, but in the larger DOD, you know, access to medical health data to identify whether we see this similar findings within the entire HIV-positive population, and does this differ within our HIV-negative active duty members and beneficiaries. We'd also like to answer these questions not just looking at syphilis, but looking at other STIs and how, you know, do the dynamics differ? Had an MPH student look at this in a large 100,000 sample of active duty HIV-negative women, and we did not find this to be the case. There was actually no association with looking at gonorrhea and chlamydia. Maybe not surprising, because perhaps the nature of sexual dynamics for women in the military might completely differ from your HIV-positive active duty men. We're also very excited to be looking at doing social network analyses to actually get to the core of exactly what is driving some of these shifts. And in conclusion, I just want to acknowledge our very strong team, a lot of people we all know put a lot of effort into one presentation like this, and I'm just thankful that I got to be the one to present it. So thank you.